gurus of how to are here, Alvin and Lawrence Hugh Bell, also known as Accurate Building Inspectors of Brooklyn, New York, 112-something.
11214.
Uh-huh.
So if you Google that, we are like the premier person in that zip code.
Really?
No, not really. I'm just making that up.
They visit us once a month to answer your home repair questions and related questions, and we'll be doing that again today. But also, we usually have a little quiz just to liven things up.
But before we get to that, I have to say that last month was one of the few months that I actually got through all the emails.
Did you? Yes. So you responded to them?
I responded to most. I think I responded to all of them. And if you want to deluge me with more, this we'll give you the one at the end of the show. You can do that again.
I have one more to go.
Yeah. Go on.
Do they tend to be really challenging questions?
They're not challenging. Some of them are, but most of them are just which is why I asked for the telephone number, which is so funny when you call people up. It's like really does. Oh, hello. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I remember. That's usually how every conversation starts.
Now, they could send you pictures, actually.
They could, and I do ask them to do that. But usually it's a situation where you end up with so many emails back and forth that one email turns into 20 emails. Mm. So I'd rather just pick up the phone and get it over with because it's a lot of questions that have to be answered. So that goes on. I really do enjoy doing that. That I have no problem with whatsoever. It just makes it much easier if you give me a telephone number so I can do that. And it really is. I mean, it benefits these people, and sometimes it's just, you really do need to get a professional in there.
Yeah, but what I find is that they're really surprised that we really call them back. That's really amazing. They say, you really called me back.
Our number, by the way, if you want to call us now, is 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC. Or if you can't get to a phone, you can also send us something on our comment line, WNYC comment line, at WNYC.org. A number of people have already started doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we'll get to a few of these later. I'll pass them over to you, and you can respond to them. But all the phone lines are filled. Would you believe it? People are already calling in. In fact, I didn't even give out the phone number. They knew to start calling.
We were actually one week delayed,
Well, because it was what did the month start on a Thursday?
Yes.
I get so confused.
Which means that's what's going to happen next month also.
All right.
Meanwhile, first of all, since it's the time I have to do a station ID, I should say this is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate with the Gurus of How To, Alvin and Lawrence Hugh Bell. These are cold times, and I'm sure a lot of people will call in with questions about the cold. But you have a question for them. Who's going to read this?
I'll
Larry?
Yeah,
you got it. You got to go.
And I do think these are the cold times of trimen souls.
and force us to drive up the heat in our apartments.
There you go. There are two words that describe a tool or device that is utilized in concrete, masonry, and the plastering trades. That is needed for leveling, truing, and smoothing the surface of wet concrete or plaster. What are their names? So just to describe one more time.
And we'll take any one of the two names.
Either one. If you come up with – actually, with this one, if you have both, only give one because we'll take someone else who will get the second one. So we're only going to take one, whichever one you like. So again, there are two words that describe a tool or device. See, that's when you write the word device. We got to leave that device thing out. Describe a tool that are utilized in concrete, masonry, and plastering trades that is needed for leveling, truing, smoothing the surface of wet concrete or plaster.
Oh, so
what is their names?
Oh, so when I see these people doing something, making sidewalk,
right,
and they do something to make the sidewalk flat,
right? The piece
that piece
of wood.
That's what. Okay.
Sometimes it's wood. Sometimes it's metal. Or it could be a.
Don't say anything more.
Yeah. Well.
Okay. Our number is 212-433-9692. But let's take some questions from our audience while people are putting on their thinking caps.
Or Googling.
Jim from Bloomfield, New Jersey. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi.
What can I do for you?
I have a question about the living room ceiling in my house. It's cracked with cracks, long cracks going in both directions. It's made of an earlier form of sheetrock. There were smaller sheets than the ones we get now. And then the builders put plaster, a half inch of plaster, on top of the sheetrock. So that over time, I think the plaster has weighed down, and the plaster is bellying in between the joists.
Well, sometimes years ago, in fact, my own home is built with a thing called, I forgot the name of it, really. Came to my head. Is where they put this plasterboard on that has holes in it.
It's called Rockleth.
Rockleth, that's the name. It's called Rockleth, and then they put plaster or a mud job right over the top of it. And this was very successful. However, many of the people who put up the Rockleth did not put enough nails in, or they didn't use enough screws, or they didn't match up the joints properly, and that's why you get this kind of pattern on the ceiling and the walls. The method of correcting that, which you can do yourself, is really putting another layer of sheetrock right over the plaster completely, and get long sheetrock screws that find where the studs are in the back or in the ceiling would be the joist, and redo the whole ceiling and the walls together. And this way, you'll really have the most magnificent smooth ceiling and wall.
Well, couldn't he just put new screws in and correct the job that was done inadequately in the past?
You could, but then you still have to spackle over all of these joints that were created.
You're going to have to spackle, but when you put on the new...
What happens is it makes it monolithic almost and overlaps everything else.
And also, when you have the two new pieces of drywall meet each other, it'll make for a much better joint, because there is that concave section in the drywall to accept the joint compound. One thing I want to say is, if you are thinking, I don't know what the style of your home is, but if you're thinking of putting in hi-hats, electrical, or anything like that, this would be the time to do it. And if you did, even though Alvin did say, you know, putting it right over, or in the case of a ceiling, under the existing, if there is no real ornamental trim around the corners or any kind of crown molding, it also wouldn't be a bad idea to just remove it all anyway. Just rip it, gut the whole ceiling off, and throw it out in a dumpster,
and do it all together.
All today, we should. But it depends on how much work you will.
That's a big job.
That's a much bigger job, but
because
you know what?
You have to buy it, because you have to rent a dumpster, which is of a lot of money.
Well, actually, where do you live? What part of the world?
New Jersey.
What part of New Jersey?
Broomfield.
Bloomfield. I mean, a dumpster, you would have to calculate how big it is, but I mean, a 30-yard dumpster is about $700 to $1,000. And if you have a driveway to put it in, so you don't have to get the permit. But if you calculate how much that all would cost to have someone else come in and do it, and if you're quite handy, doing new drywall is not the most difficult work in the world.
And anybody who's doing drywall or sheetrock work, stay away from the paper taping. Use fiberglass tape. Much stronger. The joints will not come back. The cracking joints will not come back, and it really holds the spackle compound much better than the paper tape.
Thank you so much for your call. And we go now to Stu from New York City. Hi, Stu.
Hi, Stu.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. We're in a pre-war apartment that we moved into just before Christmas. The kitchen was completely renovated.
Mm-hmm.
The area above the stove does not have a hood or exhaust fan.
Right.
So every time we cook something, the smoke alarm goes off.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Is there a window in the kitchen?
There is. It's opposite wall from the stove.
Yeah, but it's probably within 10 feet of that stove, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
We open it. It doesn't really make
much of a difference.
Right.
Yeah, I know. The code requires, and it's kind of weird the way the code is, that it requires that either you have to have an external ventilator or a window within 10 feet of the cooking appliance. And so, though it doesn't meet your needs, what I would do is, if does your that adjacent wall, is at the front of the building or the back of the building?
Neither.
The party wall probably.
No, I'm saying is where that window is.
Yes.
I mean, what I'm really trying to say, if it's on a street exposure, there's no way that the building... There's a co-op?
No.
It's a rental?
Yeah.
Oh, so you're kind of limited.
Well, then if you have the window, what you can do is you can buy a small insert exhaust fan that you could put in at the top of the window. Don't put it at the bottom, but put it at the top of the window and lock it in place, and then put that device on exhaust only, that when you are cooking, you can put exhaust on it, and all the smoke that comes into from the cooking will raise to the ceiling, and that exhaust fan will suck it all out during the cooking process.
So there's nothing I can put over the stove?
No, because, well, I mean, if you do put a hood up there, the hood is just going to really filter and recirculate the air and usually have a, how tall are you?
5'7".
5'7", okay, so you're my height, but it will still just blow the air right over your head.
Yeah, and the charcoal filters really, they work, but they really don't work.
Well, the other problem is the width. Mm-hmm. They built cabinets around the stove, and the width is only 24 inches, and everything I've seen in stores is either 30 or 36 inches.
Now, here's the alternative, is you buy the 30-inch wide one, and you bring it to a metal fabricator to shorten it up like you would do with a pair of pants that are too long or a shirt that's too large.
And there are metal fabricators on the Upper West Side?
Well, not necessarily on the Upper West Side, but definitely in the greater New York area.
Okay.
It's not an easy thing, and you are doing an improvement on a rental property. But that would be my solution.
Thank you so much for your call. We have a number of people who have called in with answers to the quiz, which is the tool or device that will smooth the surface of wet concrete or plaster. And it says here, Cynthia plus Susan. Is it Cynthia and Susan?
Yes, we're both in the car.
Uh-huh. And do you both have an answer?
Well, a float or a screech. I think that's what we were thinking about.
The second, say that second word again for me.
Or a screech.
I'll give it to you on that one.
Thank you.
Okay. But that's not, but there's still another word floating out there, so you guys get to share a book.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can we ask you a question?
Sure.
Okay. We're really in a quandary we're looking at radiant heat floors.
Yeah.
And we've got differing opinions because, of course, different vendors and contractors like to use a particular product. And we can't really decide if we should go with something that's laid and poured on top of with concrete or if we should go with something that's installed on wood.
Is this a new house or is this an alteration?
It's an alteration. It's actually an old factory that we're restoring, and it's predominantly on a concrete slab already.
Well, the problem is with raising up the concrete slab in anywhere is that you're going to have to redo the doors. If you have a step out into the hall, you'll be at a different elevation. That could cause a trip hazard. Putting in radiant heating into a pre-existing structure is generally causes more problems than you really want to get involved in. And I would rather go along with like baseboard radiation in some way that would be much more easily controlled.
Okay, now
that, okay, thanks.
Okay, but no. Are you still there?
Yeah,
because you can't go anywhere because we got to leave a name and number so we can get you the book.
Sure.
But I also have a differing opinion about the radiant heat because my father tends to look at it a very practical point of view. But what I would prefer you do, because this is much more involved than the show really gives us, what I'd like you to do is when you get you can Google with me on the internet and give me a call at my office and we can really discuss what the pros and cons are to radiant heat in general, but also the different installations, because this would go on for a while and leave the rest of the world out.
And we will give out the phone number, the email address later as well.
Yes.
Thank you for your call. We got actually...
But hold on.
I put her on hold, and somebody's going to take her address. Dana called in. Actually, she had a correct answer first, but I thought, to be honest, I thought that Cynthia was going to get it wrong. So I'm...
You see,
so Dana, what am I going to do? Dana, hi, you're on the air. Dana is calling in from Rockland County. And Dana, you knew that it was screed?
I knew it was screed with a D, not a T. And also you use a float and a trowel.
So can we give out three?
Oh, that's cool. Okay, we'll give it to her, too.
Yeah.
Because
I got to tell you, people driving a car, two women in a car, and so they got it with a D, a T instead of a D. I'm impressed that they actually knew the word. You know?
Well, I'm more impressed.
And the fact that they were in a car means they weren't Googling why they were doing it.
Neither am I.
Dana, well, how did you know?
That's why you get a book.
I know because I've done the work. I don't have a computer.
Yes.
Well, Dana, we're going to put you on hold, and you'll get a copy of the book as well. What is the book that she's going to get?
It's called The Save Energy, Save Money.
Great.
By Al and Al Ubell and George Merlis.
Great. I love listening to you.
Oh, we love having you listen.
And thank you so much for calling us. We're going to go to a little break, and somebody's going to take Dana's address and everything so she can get the book. We'll come back. There are more people who think they know the other answer, and we'll try to get to some of them and, of course, to some of your other questions. Our number here is 212-433-9692. My guests are the gurus of How To, Alvin and Lawrence Ubell. Mr. Fix-It. Give you an idea of my rock knowledge. It was Layla, not Lila. But the reason I got confused is because the inspiration for that song
is Patty.
Is Patty? I've forgotten her last name. Who was here recently? But you know, my mind is a sieve. And
Patty was it Patty Harrison?
No,
wasn't she?
But she married George Harrison.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, whatever her name was.
I know this is a conversation we left my dad completely out of.
Our number here is 212-433-WMIC.
By the way, Leonard, I have a bone to pick with you. When Mr. Bagley Jr. was on, and you said, I didn't know you're supposed to clean out the back of the coils in the refrigerator.
Oh, I was just... Of course I knew it. You guys have talked about it for years.
That's the problem when your guests listen to your show.
What do you want me to sound like, a know-it-all?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Gene. Gene from Ardsley, New York. Hi, Gene. How are you?
Okay. Thank you for this. Okay. My problem is this. I have ants coming into my kitchen. I live in it's a two-story house. What I do is I spray a Raid in the basement, and I spray in the basement ceiling where I think there's an opening that goes, you know, up to the first floor. And when I do that, for a while, the ants seem to be moving very slowly if I see them. So I think I'm having a little bit of an effect on them. But then like a day or so later, they're all back running around, you know, normally. And I just wonder if there's anything else I can do.
First of all, if you have ants or any other kind of insect that comes into a house, and the only reason they'll come into your house is because there's something in that house that is an attractant to these particular insects. That goes with mice and rats and cockroaches and every kind of a vermin that may come into your home. There has to be an attractant somewhere, and you got to figure out what that attractant is. And once you find that out and remove that attractant, the ants will stop coming. And the idea is to find out where they're coming from through the building and then trail them to where they are going and what they are carrying back. They have to go back to the nest. And usually they carry parts of what they are looking for, which is food or something like that. And if you find the source of where they're going and remove it or destroy it or saturate it with some sort of chemical, this will stop the ants from coming.
Boy, I don't know how to figure that out.
You got to look at the ants very closely, sometimes with a magnifying glass, and you'll see that they are carrying particles of something with them in their mandrels.
I see.
And they will be carrying them back someplace to their nest. And so by figuring that out, you will find what it is they like in your house.
I see. There's different kinds of ants, like sweet-eating ants.
Well, there are ants that are sidewalk ants. There are red ants. They are house ants. The ant species is very numerous, but the point is that they all have the same kind of structure, pretty much, and they're looking for something that they need. And once you figure out what they need and you remove that or destroy it, the ants will stop coming without insecticide, by the way.
But you don't recommend insecticides?
I'm not a great believer in insecticides for the control of ants. I believe that you got to take away the attractant from the ants that will say, no longer, why should we come here? There's nothing for us.
Thank you so much for your call. Steve from North Bergen, New Jersey. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
I just made an offer on a New York co-op. Mm-hmm. It's, kind of got on, thought it'd take me a year to find a building. This is the first place I looked at. 1904 building, 12 stories on the Upper West Side.
Right.
It's on the 12th floor. And, you know, now that we're just about to sign the contract, my lawyer's handling all the, you know, the hard questions, but the little ones, like, how do I know that the building doesn't have bed bugs? How do I know that the water pressure in the shower is decent? How do I know, you know, it's an old building? And all the little livability questions, no one seems to be able to answer, and, you know, I just thought, are there any tricks or any ways to find out what life in a building, an old co-op, is like?
Yes, one of them is actually speaking to some of the people that already live there. And what you do is, on a day after work, wait outside the door around 5:30 when people come home from work and ask them. It says, you live here? And they go, yes. So I'm thinking of buying. What do you think of the building? And they tell you all the great things. They say, what's the worst part? And they'll start telling you the worst parts, especially if you find someone who lives on the 10th, 11th, or 12th floor. They'll tell you some of the things that you have. As far as water pressure and things like that, you can test that all on your own by just going to the faucets and running them. Where a person like what we do is we actually the problem is, I remember when I was buying a home, I had a hard time looking in closets. But as a professional inspector, I just open in closets, and if one's locked, I'll go, can you open the closet, please? Where as a buyer, you feel kind of embarrassed that you're kind of prying in on their life. Whereas a professional, I don't really – that doesn't affect me. Also, the other thing is, when I do a co-op or condo inspection, I not only look at the apartment – and check out all the things as far as the apartment. Bed bugs is a kind of a sketchy one, but as far as also I look at the roof, and in your case on the 12th floor, it's kind of important because you will be the first one to figure out when the roof leaks. And also I look in the basement and see how the management company, the super, and their staff is taking care of the building. Not only the boiler room, not only the electrical, the plumbing, the pump room, but also the compactor room. See how they're dealing with their garbage. How a person deals with their garbage tells you a host of things about the building and the management staff. And those are the kind of things that we do, and I do that on a daily basis.
The other thing is that when you people who are buying these apartments, the co-ops or the condos that are being converted, some of them are being converted from factories, and that had a subject that just came up the other day, that some of these factories, we don't know what they had in these factories. Was it a factory that was used for food processing and things like that? Well, the nutrients that were dropped onto the floors of these buildings, you'll never be able to get those nutrients out, and those buildings have complaints afterwards about fungus growth and all kinds of things. Now, if you may get into a building that was used for a watch case manufacturing, and that could have radium inside the building, and it has to be tested. And these are problems that have been coming up in buildings that we are very conscious of, and we're telling people about them, mm-hmm. and they should...
What I would like to do is you should actually, for home inspector or apartment inspector, look on our website, which is www.accuratebuilding.com. We give a lot of free information about home inspections, and there are plenty of other services and companies around the metro area that could help you out in the same way.
Okay, Steve?
Yeah.
Thanks. Okay, I hope we helped you.
Nancy from Flushing, you have another suggestion for how to get rid of the ants?
Yes, I do. I know where you have to follow the trail. Absolutely, I agree with that. But I had ants that would climb up the stairs and go into my kitchen and go towards the garbage. Couldn't really move the garbage, but fantastic old-fashioned natural remedy is white vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
Super cheap. Pour it down the crack where the ant hill is, and it'll go straight to the queen ant.
And well, she doesn't like vinegar.
Well, you're absolutely right. But that is really, in my experience, is that is a short-lived kind of solution. Sometimes I'll even use
But I think what she's saying is that, aside from all the things you said, which she agreed with,
yeah,
also add the vinegar.
Oh, and somebody else suggests using bay leaf. Do you think that's a good idea? Bay leaves as an insect repellent?
I don't know, but after a few hours, it tastes really good. I'm sure there are a lot of these things that ants do not like and will be repelled by it. And I, like the woman said, she agreed with everything you said. Yeah. Also add the vinegar in as another front.
Yeah, but those, I like the long-term solution is remove what attracts them and what they need.
Now, a whole bunch of answers have come in to the second answer to the quiz. Should we just take them?
Sure.
Yeah, let's go
okay.
with it.
Okay. Bob, hi. You're on the air. What do you say it is?
A bull float.
No, that's not what we're looking for.
Well, thank you so much.
That's a big one, but it's not the right one.
Dale from Seaford Harbor?
Seaford Harbor on Long Island.
Nassau County there,
on the North Shore.
No, South Shore.
South Shore.
Okay. Trowel?
No. That's just something for smoothing. That's all.
And we have Courtney from New York. Hi. What do you think it is, Courtney?
I'm going to rhyme with the last caller and say dowel.
No.
Yeah.
But you're close.
A dowel, a trowel? Nope. Anyway.
A cowl.
And a number of people have suggested float. That's
No.
No good. Okay, so maybe I'll read a couple of the questions that have come in from listeners. A contractor left leaving some grout drying on a newly tiled bathroom floor. It was there for a while, and then we discovered that it had dried. What is the best way to remove the hardened grout from the tile surface without damaging the tiles?
WD-40.
WD-40 would work really well.
So that's it? You just spray the WD-40?
WD-40, let it sit and just kind of work it off.
Yeah,
And also the WD-40 works also very good, as does nose grease, as does peanut butter, as does butter, cooking oil, to get off any sticky stuff off of glass or plastic.
Yeah, sometimes sometimes you have concrete that'll splatter onto glass, and sometimes that's very hard to get off, even with a razor blade. But if you take WD-40, spray it on the glass, let it stay overnight, it comes right off.
This person says, pre-war 12-story apartment building. I live on the 10th floor, and often when I use the bathroom tap and the sink, hot water comes out of the cold water faucet. The super has been unable to find the source of the problem, and this has not always been a problem, just in the last year or two.
Okay, that one I got.
You got it?
Yeah, I like this one. What I think is going on here is that it hasn't always been a problem. I think someone has put in a washing machine or dishwasher, or actually probably a washing machine, and has crossed the connections and leaves it open all the time, probably even a dishwasher, where they leave the two valves open and the water is the cold water or the hot water is running back through the cold pipe. So what really has to go on here is that the super in the building has to do an apartment-by-apartment search for this connection, and that's the only way they're going to find it. It's not something that naturally happens on its own. Someone did something and ruined ruined the integrity of the systems.
Yeah, but sometimes what happens is somebody will plug in a clothes washing machine into the sink faucet or some other faucet, and they turn both valves on because it's a single connection to the hose bib. Or to the water connection, and then they leave it on overnight, and the water migrates.
But what
I'm
thinking is going on is this is on all the time because he says it always happens. So this is something where the super has to do an apartment by apartment search and find out who's the culprit.
Yeah, it's a cross connection and it's illegal.
Mm-hmm. Now we have very little time, but I thought I'd sneak Karen in here.
Hi, Karen.
What's your question?
I'd like to know the difference between joint compound and spackling compound.
I'm taking this one too because I keep trying to tell.
10 seconds.
There's no difference. It's the same. Joint compound is the generic name. Spackle is a trademark. So we really stopped using that trademark.
And a number of people have called in with answers like Darby and Feather Edge, but they're not the answer. So
the one we're looking for is.
Strike-off.
Strike-off rail.
Okay,
Strike-off.
Well, so one. But we still give out two
We can
prizes,
still give out two books, you know.
Yeah. Yes, and we're also going to give one book to
Mr. Junior.
Yeah.
and we will see you next month.
When we?
We'll go forth and fix, save energy, money, and.
Do it safely.
The Gurus of How To, Alvin and Lawrence U. Bell, also known as Accurate Building Inspectors of Brooklyn, New York.